Hello and welcome to the Counterpress Podcast. I'm your host, Kirk Kinsey, and with me tonight is Josh Cacho. Josh, a little bit different tonight, huh?
Yeah. I think they heard the message loud and clear, right? Like, it's again, obviously, I'd say that a bit tongue-in-cheek, but if you were to go down the list of the pod fam, right, and what the reactions were to the previous set of games, none of them had many positive things to say. And I think they were cognizant of that and understood what the mission was and understood what needed to be done, right? And obviously, when you have the game at Colorado, which you didn't really take anything from, then you draw SKC at home, which looked okay, right? That wasn't like they just didn't seem like they had much there, and SKC was really organized, right? Mm-hmm. And then obviously you go to the next game and you get blown out, And so coming into this one, you're like, okay, how are they going to react? You're at home. You have the 32-52 behind you, but at the same time, we know this is a run of games that's not going to be easy, right? And coming into this one, right, from the start, things just look miles different. And I think we have to start the conversation by talking about the fullbacks, because Campos 100%. Is out. And again, you had called for Campos to have to sit this one. He was actually out because he's with the Mexico U-23s. But again, tell me what you saw there.
So I guess let's start on that side. I saw Ryan Hollingshead combining much more effectively with Bowanga in the attack. From early on in the game, he's making inside runs as Bowanga drags people wide, which is kind of how Bowanga likes to attack beyond the edge of the 18, right? So he likes to take it closer to the flag and then cut in and work from there. Loves attacking from the end line. Doesn't mean he's going to cut it back. It just means that that's the angle that he likes to come at you from, right? Which suits Ryan Hollingshead, who likes to play a bit central. So him making those runs, Bogu staying at home, especially, I think, and occupying the center backs, as we've talked about. Now, the one thing that's hard to say is, like, how much of that is a Nashville thing? How much of it is, like, Minnesota just played you different? Like, they just didn't respect Bogus at all, type of thing, you know? So that, I would say that partnership is the first thing that stood out. The second thing that stands out to me is Sergio Palencia makes you a much better team. I mean, a much better team. I didn't think him coming on the field and moving Hollingshead to left back would have such a massive impact on both sides, but it really did.
Now, the other thing, Kirk, let me ask you a question. Yeah. How much of that is familiar, like him having a whole year under his belt and familiarity with the other guys on the team versus is there something about the way he plays comparatively to, I guess, technically Hollingshead, but like what he was doing differently than Hollingshead was doing previously. And then obviously what Hollingshead did differently from Campos.
I don't know. I feel like the final ball, I feel like Palencia stays wider longer than Hollingshead, right? Hollingshead will come into the middle of the field in the middle third and Palencia is staying out wide all the way into the final third, right? And the ball that he plays across for Bowanga, where it's like, it's a small thing and it might not seem like a big deal, but the fact that he plays that in front of the back line so that Atuesta has a chance to get to it and then dummy it, and it's still a finishable ball by Bowanga, and it's not just like a whipped in cross trying to get over the back line. We haven't seen that from Hollingshead, and especially not Kike Oliveira, right? So I think he's just providing a different type of service in the final third that we hadn't seen yet. But it's because he's out there wide, right?
Because obviously the way towards the end of last year, right, Oliveira had kind of taken over that starting role on the right side with Vela playing primarily through the middle. Yeah. Right? And I did feel that Hollingshead's effectiveness had been rather, not suspect is not the right word, but had definitely not been the same since that since Vela moved inside versus playing outside. Because I think they had an understanding the way that Hollingshead would, you know, could read Vela's movement inside or outside versus Oliveira tends to be his goal is to get to the end line and then he's the one that fires that cross in. Right. So Hollingshead almost ends up floating inside far more, but that also causes some defensive structure issues. And so it was really interesting to see how they interplay here because I think Palencia does a great job of just kind of picking his, you know, understanding what Oliveira wants to do and then kind of picking his moments. And then I on the flip side of things with Hollingshead on the other side, I think he just plays Bwanga exactly. You know, he does the job of the fullback exactly what Bwanga needs to give him space. You know, because I think sometimes you see them running a bit too close together at times. When Campos was there, they're wanting to do the same things. Their ideas are a bit redundant, if you will.
Yeah, Campos is trying to run outside of Bwanga all the time, who loves to keep the ball wide until the last moment, right? Mm-hmm. The other thing that I think it did, so this is one of those underrated things about a 4-3-3, right, where you can generate numerical superiority in the middle of the field just by adding fullbacks, by creeping those fullbacks forward. And I felt like the midfielders were much more comfortable staying high with this setup than they have been in the past. Now, maybe that's just because Hollingshead is overrunning a lot of the midfield when he was playing right back. And so it's like, well, now Atuesta is buried behind him. I don't know. And so when you have Hollingshead running through early from the right side and Bogusz running back, now it's like there's almost too many people. But I thought the way that the fullbacks combined with the midfield was much more effective tonight too. And again, it's hard to say. Maybe it's just a factor of you know, going up against Nashville's 4-4-2 and that you're always going to have numbers in the middle against that. So it's tough to say. I will 100% go to the mat for seeing this same setup again with Palencia and Hollingshead until it stops working.
But yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue that Campos is miles ahead of the combination of Campos and Hollingshead on the right moving back is miles better than or even close to what in our opinion. I think it's probably like what we saw tonight was far ahead of what we had seen in these first couple games of the season. Now, again, I think Campos is still young. I think we're going to give him the opportunity to kind of improve himself and get better. But at the same time, you know, we will see what that ultimately looks like.
Yeah. No, I mean, they made a huge investment on Campos. I don't think I'm out on him. He's a young player, right? But there was a huge difference, obviously, like a very noticeable difference tonight in the way that the team played and performed. So to me, he stays on the bench when he comes back until further notice. I did find it interesting that Palencia subs Josh. Do you know, was there any talk about an injury? Are they protecting him from something? Or
is not this that just I know. I just thought it was just a matter of the card issue. Because he, you know, both he and Hollingshead had picked up cards. But Palencia was, I think, after the set, when he stops that attack and then just kind of, you know, we were joking because he just kind of runs away from the ref immediately after.
I mean, he...
So like he knows in that moment, right?
Oh, yeah. He kind of gives up. It wasn't a clear tactical foul, like reach out and pull the guy down by his jersey, but it was 2 minutes after he got the yellow, and it's definitely a borderline play where he just hauls somebody down, right? And he turns around and runs away with a big smile on his face. And that was a moment of the game that I loved. But
yeah, and so I think in that moment, probably because, you know, obviously he picked up the first one, he should have picked up, technically speaking, probably should have picked up a second one there. By technical terms, obviously you're going to leave that to the discretion of the referee, but he's walking on thin ice to say the least. And so I think in that moment, Hollingshead hadn't really been talked to since the first yellow. So I think my guess is that you give him that opportunity, you know, to just make sure he doesn't pick up a second one because the ref is already kind of paying attention to him at that point.
I mean, I guess he's got the tougher assignment with Tyler Borden and Mukhtar being over on that side more frequently as well. So maybe that's part of it, but interesting. Yeah. So, I hope to see him start and finish most games, he and Hollingshead.
Yeah, because he came back last year from that, I think he had a meniscal injury. Came back fairly quickly, but also never quite looked like he did prior to the injury as well.
Yeah.
And with those things, sometimes it is a bit of a confidence thing. It's less so much whether you're physically healthy. It tends to be more a matter of, can you trust yourself not, you know, can you trust your body in those moments to not fail you, if you will, right? Because that's technically what happens, you know, in the absence of a contact injury. So, you know, we'll see. Like I said, I love what I saw. I hope I continue to see it more. You know, I think Campos will still get his opportunities. But for now, in terms of ensuring, because of the way that we started, and given that you are going to be facing the Galaxy in the next game, who, you know, made a big comeback tonight.
Yeah.
I think you have to go with experience here. And just kind of to make sure, because again, you're going to draw, I guess, Hollingshead on that left side has Payne still, right? Who looks like a world beater, and it's not any easier on the right side with Gabriel Peck. So.
Yeah. I mean, if Johnny Russell was cooking Campos, then Paintsill will just obliterate him. So, take the night off, Omar. Like, you can have that. You can have that one. Other things from tonight, I thought Atuesta balled out during this game. Again, I think that's primarily because he was able to stay higher and actually show that he does have some quality getting towards goal, right? Obviously has a diving header at the end of the game, but was also involved in some in a lot of like the build up in the final third. When Atuesta drives into the box is where I'm like, bro, just like, that's, you do so many things really well. This is not one of them. Like, we don't need you trying to slice and dice defenders in the box like a winger. Like, let's lay this ball off. That's what we love you for, right?
Yeah, or let him play the initial pass on a 1-2. Yeah. You know, like there's a way to do it without actually having, you know, again, because like you're saying, what he's attempting to do is not at all what comes off.
Yeah, right. And you know, whatever. Everybody's got to have their time in the spotlight to try and make something special happen in the box, but.
I mean, speaking of that, I think one of the latter stories of the game is the continued emergence of a young David Martinez, who looks absolutely wonderful. Yeah,
this is what, as you're watching him, everybody should tune their eyeballs to what they're seeing with him, because that is like true talent, right? The weight on the ball, the way that he hits the ball to Atuesta, which it's not a scoop. He chips it to him perfectly weighted, right? Like, it's just the technique on the things that he does is so perfect. It's so clean. The one touch ball to Kike Oliveira, right? To set up the guy who is eventually going to replace to set up his first goal of the season, right? Everything is just so perfectly weighted. Now, is he making plenty of mistakes? Absolutely. Absolutely. He's still taking ill-advised shots. I mean, the one that he has, though, the just barely wide of the back post, it's another example. Just everybody thinks the play is dead, and he somehow gets a shot off that nearly goes in.
But then after that, right, there's a play where he probably should have played Oliveira, I think it was, and then in the previous game, definitely should have played Mwanga.
Yeah.
Right. So it's absolutely teenager mistakes, right? And again, I also don't mind the confidence to think that I'm going to bet on myself and let him do his thing, right? So it's like you're saying, it's like it's one of those ones where it's like you as a coaching staff, probably you have a conversation. You say, hey, you got to see this, and understand the moment. But at the same time, you're also not going to be so hard on him because you know what you're going to get, right?
Like, right. No, I mean, that kid really is special. So here's to hoping that he continues progressing on the same same trajectory that got him here, because the sky's the limit for that kid if he stays at it. So, a really positive game, Josh. I thought Bogus had a better day staying high and dropping in at better moments rather than just hanging out in the midfield, right? I thought Kike was more effective, but still a few timing issues here and there, right? Happy to see him get a goal. It's a well-taken goal for once. Like, that was great. He misses on a Bwanga cross. That's a tough finish. I know it seems easy. Bwanga hits that ball across, and it seems like all he's got to do is get a shoelace on it, and it's going to go in. But that ball's coming really fast. He's running through at full speed. It's much harder than it looks.
Well, and you give him props for actually even putting in the hard yards to even get close to it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, better game from him. Again, I think fullbacks and being able to combine in more effective ways helped both him and Bwanga, right? And Bwanga's another one that we need to talk about. The way that Bwanga takes penalties makes me not miss watching Carlos take penalties, right?
Absolutely.
You never know what the run-up is. You never know what the finish is. And it seems like he misses more than he should, right? But Bwanga just comes up and he rips the net off the back of the goal every time. He hits his penalty so hard, Josh, that you see the goal, like the bottom of the goal frame, pop up.
And you got to love it. Like, to me, that is how a penalty should be struck. Do it with confidence. Yeah. Do it with power. Obviously, I think it's harder to control, right? Which is sometimes why people tend to try to finesse it a little bit more. But man, when you get that right, as a Liverpool supporter, right, seeing Mo Salah takes penalties the exact same way, where you just put your boot through it. There's no doubt about it. It's, I'm going to put it here and just good luck trying to stop it.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. No games, no fuss. I'm just going to smash this ball. And yeah, like you said, good luck. We'll see if you can get your hands on it. The other guy, the one that comes to mind is Ronaldo, right? This is how Ronaldo takes his penalties. And there's never any doubt. It's all like, it's going to find the back of the net. His finish on his goal from open play is fantastic. It's a great dummy. We already talked about Palencia playing a great ball in front of and out of reach of the back line. And then he just comes up and whips it right around the keeper. Really, really strong stuff from him tonight.
Again, I think top to bottom, this was just one of those performances where you had to just sit back and appreciate it. You could enjoy. It's one of the few times this year where I've been able to enjoy the game. You know, like, I'm out there with my wife and kid, just being able to just watch it and enjoy goals and be able to have fun about it, as opposed to, you know, again, like the SKC game, right, where you're just kind of like hoping that something would happen, right? You're just like, do something, you know, and then compare that to the following Minnesota game where they just looked miserable. But
yeah.
Like I said, it's good to see it. Always good to come and talk about wins in this way. And like I said, I hope they can keep it up, especially heading into this next game, right? It's the one that you want to make sure that you come into with the right type of form.
Yeah, so hopefully it's a repeatable performance. Last week, Josh, we talked about it's probably going to have to happen on set pieces, right? And that's the opening goal comes from Tillman, who is now tied with Bwanga for most goals on the team with two. And he gets free on the back post. Aaron Long knocks the ball down off the corner, and Tillman finishes it off. And that early goal off a set piece is, I feel like, what helped them. Like, all right, monkeys off the back, let's go get it. And they did. I think the penalty that we take should have been awarded to Bwanga first, and that the penalty that was awarded
to
Tillman. There
was like three in that sequence where they probably could have given it, because Bwanga gets kicked, and then I would say Bogus gets fouled also.
Mm. And then, I thought the final whistle on it, like where it comes against Tillman, was actually a pretty soft penalty, but the one against Bawanga was rather clear. And so it's like
the one for Tillman, right? They get caught up, right? More than anything. But
yeah, and defender plays the ball away, right? Tillman's running away from goal with the ball, just trying to secure it. And like, to be fair, if he gets fouled running away from goal, it's still a foul, right? Mm-hmm. But to me, it seemed more like a clash. The defender, you know, kind of sweeps the ball away as he clips Tillman. But yeah, the Bawanga one is like Bawanga's ready to shoot and just gets hacked. So anyway, tomato, tomato, the penalty stands. And like we already said, Bawanga just crushes that ball. I'm trying to think of like what else. Like, Josh, this is just a fun game to watch. And it was good to see them be fun again.
Unless you're a Nashville fan.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Kike gets that breakaway and whatever their goalkeeper. I mean, it's the right call. The ref was on top of it, even though he is a bit of a like portly scab ref. Have you noticed that, Josh? Like a lot of the scab refs are a bit heavier set than the regular guys.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have that union mandated workout, I guess, or something. I don't know.
Oh man, this show is off the rails tonight. Yeah, you can tell it was fun because we're in here talking. We're in here fat shaming the refs.
I mean, better that than talking about how Bwanga hits the post for, again, should have had four goals tonight, probably.
Dude, this game could have easily been 7 or 8-0.
Yeah.
And that's just from hitting the post all those different times, right? Not just like, oh, the flow of the game or whatever. We should have had more. It was just like, it was a turkey shoot. I think they had like 23 shots on the night with 12 on target. Just an altogether different feel tonight. So, yeah, I mean, the other thing that we need to shout out is like, I think the coaching staff and especially Dolo deserves some praise here because they are able to manufacture a goal off a set piece. And I don't know if that was part of it. Bogus is playing better, right? My instinct would have been to play Palencia on the left because we've seen him there, I feel like, more than Hollingshead. But Hollingshead goes to the left, and that was like a huge, huge bonus to have him and Bwanga combining on that side, right? So,
I mean, there's something to be said about, like, again, I think truly what makes you a great fullback is, especially in modern football, is your ability to unlock the guy in front of you rather than your ability to do a whole lot on your own, right? Like, it says a lot more about the fullback when the winger, I think, is if you have those wingers that are scoring at a higher rate. So, you know, look at some of the ones that get plaudits around the world. The, you know, obviously Trent Alexander-Arnold is a great passer, right? But his ability to play either under and or over Salah, depending on what he does, right, makes him equally dangerous. Now compare that to when we were playing Mohamed El-Munir at one point where he was like
the most left-footed player ever, and he's playing as an inverted right back with Carlos.
We had two left-footed, you know, you have two left-footed fullbacks. I remember, you know, this was something that was like killing you, right? Because when you watch it go down, right, there just doesn't seem to be that ability to be able to adjust. And then when that happens, you just get all sorts of congestion.
Yeah. Right. Like those are dark days. That was MLS's back in 2020. That we were doing that stuff.
Whether it be the spatial awareness, whether it be just the field awareness, you know, that you just don't.
Yeah.
When, you know, like I said, and I think that's where Campos is struggling right now. And even Cheeky, to be fair, right? Cheeky never really meshed well with a left winger, right? Because Cheeky kind of has that same nature where he wants to get down to the end line. Towards the end of last season, you started to see him play under a little bit more, but he's very left footed as well. Mm-hmm. Right, and I think having a guy like Hollingshead, who is a left back, but who's been a career left back until getting to LFC, but is apparently right footed.
Yeah,
much to our surprise last year. or the year before that. I don't remember exactly what it was. Does a lot to give Bouanga options. And I think when because have been struggling, having a guy that understands that space and can open up the space for you by making underlapping runs and or overlapping runs.
Yeah.
Again, I think helps a lot.
I mean, and to be fair to Bouanga, he seems to like playing with Hollingshead. I mean, we're like 5 minutes into the game. Hollingshead makes an underlapping run into the box, and Bouanga's more than happy to share the ball with him, right? Now, typically, a guy like Bouanga, you're thinking he just wants people to make dummy runs for him, yeah? And drag a defender out so he can go attack at fewer defenders. But it seems like Bouanga likes playing with him. So, again, here's to hoping that that sticks around for a little bit, because it was much easier to watch. The other underrated thing that I think about this is that with Hollingshead more apt to like cut inside and Tillman being more of an eight, it gave Atuesta a chance to kind of get higher up the field on the right side. And I kind of feel like that helped him have a more clearly defined role where he's not dropping into like this rotating double or even triple pivot that we've been playing the last couple of weeks. Again, it's hard to know just one game what, like, if that's going to be a recurring theme or if that's just like the solution against Nashville, who knows? But I do feel like Hollingshead on the other side helps Atuesta stay in a more productive position. And I feel like that more strictly defined role tonight really helped not only Atuesta, but the team. So, a fun, fun game. It's good to see them scoring goals in bunches. And man, I cannot wait for the first time David Martinez scores, because it's going to be like, I think that team is going to go bananas when he does.
Yeah. And again, I'm hoping it comes next week against the Galaxy.
Yeah. It'd be incredible. Would be awesome. Because
what better way to open up your, you know, your LAFC career, but to, you know, do a number on our fiercest rivals.
There is no better way than to do it there.
Or sink your career if you're Andre Horta.
That is true. If you come in and give an assist to Zlatan, then it's not going to go well for you.
I mean, to be fair, it also kind of, I feel like Tyler Miller never recovered from that moment.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah, that I think you're right. All right, Josh, anything else from this game that you wanted to get to? I feel like, I mean, I guess we can talk about the other kudos to be thrown out after haranguing people for 4 weeks about underperforming and a bad roster. Again, the roster is still bad. But some big news coming out on Monday, Josh, that LAFC are in very advanced talks with Olivier Giroud. What do you make of this?
I think it was a very timely leak from the front office, right?
Yep.
Given the circumstances, I think you needed to put something out. They did, right? Again, and my guess is they did it knowing that they're likely to get something. Like, to me, when something from LAFC finally gets leaked, and again, because of the relationship that Tom Boger kind of has within that circle, most of those things are, when it does finally get to that point, they're far enough along that all parties are comfortable with it coming out from the league office, basically.
Yeah. Well, and so this is, we've talked about this on the show before. Tom does not work for MLS any longer. Well, I guess he's still on extra time. I don't know, but he writes for The Athletic. But he was kind of installed. Tom came out of nowhere. Right. He was kind of installed by MLS as like the Fab Romano of MLS.
I was going to say Adrian Wojnarowski.
Right. So, I mean, I think.
Which I guess Romano is that what came from that as well.
Yeah. I think maybe it's the happy foot, sad foot guys call him the Woj of MLS, right? And like, it's that same thing, right? Or the Adam Schefter. I think the league saw value in having the guy, right? And I mean, I'm sure Tom put in work to build relationships and everything. I don't want to downplay what he has accomplished, but the point is that he is the anointed one by Uncle Don. Yeah. So that's like his role, just like Matt Doyle is supposed to be this wonky, tactician, which he is not, but that's what that's like the role he plays, right? In this WWE league.
I mean,
that we have.
Let's be real. If the experiences with the talking heads at ESPN, Fox Sports, whoever it may be, right, and giving bad opinions, I mean, First Take is, you know, one of the most popular sports shows, specifically for giving bad opinions and then letting people react to said bad opinions.
Right. No, I'd say, First Take is like a combination of like the Fox News Channel and The View. I realize those those viewpoints are like diametrically opposed, but it's like all the same thing, right? Like, let's just get some opinion guys out there, guys and girls out there, and just giving flamethrower takes all about everything, right?
Yeah.
We'll drive outrage, we'll drive clicks, and that's how we'll stay relevant. So yeah. But anyway, back to the Tom thing. Like, he is the league source, is what I'm getting at. And it was by design. It's chosen. And it's fine. It's not, nobody's a bad person because of this. But like you said, the fact that LAFC never leaks anything, and half the time you don't find out until after the transfer window is closed, and B, it does come from Tom. This is like JT calling and being like, hey, we're working on this. And it's like, everybody can see what's happening with the team. It's all bad. And like, here's a bone. We're going to throw you a bone. This is what we're planning on doing. I think it was smart on their point. I'm sure there were talks with Giroud's agent, like, hey, we're going to leak this. Like, it's going to get out. Are you good? You know? So I think it is a good signing. I think Giroud is the kind of lead the line striker that this team needs to allow the midfield to operate like an actual midfield. And I mean, he's still effective. We saw Zlatan go from Galaxy to AC Milan and be effective. So like, we know there's like translation there. Yeah. And Giroud is one of the best to ever do it at that spot. So,
he's the definition of a target man.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Right. So it's the type of forward that we've never had. Right.
No. Uh-uh.
The closest thing was probably Dio.
Yeah. I think so. It might be Ramirez, who was a little more fox in the box type of striker, right? I still feel like Dio would do a lot of it on his own.
Hmm.
But was also still good with his movement in the box too.
I mean, Dio technically, I think, before coming to LFC was like a left back at Hull. So yeah.
one of those things that Bob just like, man, Bob had some players and some moments just of absolute brilliance. Like, we're gonna move Latif into the midfield and we're just gonna have him destroy everything. And then it was like Greg Berhalter saw that and he's like, we're gonna play Yunus Musa in the midfield. Even though he plays right winger in Spain. And then now Greg is like, we're going to play him at the six. And to just disastrous results. Sorry, I had to get in some Greg Berhalter shade there. But
I mean, it wouldn't be the Counter-Press podcast without it.
We got to go after Lee. Got to go after Berhalter. I guess we only got to go after USSF now. And then we'll be good. Anything else from this game, Josh, that you want to get into?
Enjoyed LFC fans, and like I said, we just we'll hope this one continues on to next week, and if that's the case, then we will be riding high heading in. Like, it puts you into the exact position you want to be, which is slightly above 500, given the circumstances that you're playing. Your team has like 8 people on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, and then you get into the so July, incomplete. You get into the second and third parts of the MLS regular season. You bring in your signings and then you go for it and see what happens.
I mean, I will say they can't get injured.
Yes.
You are one injury away in like 8 of 11 spots on the field from being done. And I mean done, right? If Bogusz goes down, you're toast, right? If Bawanga goes down, you're toast. If any of the midfielders go down, you're toast, right? Either of the fullback. I mean, it's really just all over the field. If you don't have Lloris on the field, I think you're losing a lot more games.
Yeah, I mean, because you're not even bringing McCarthy off anymore. I mean, back on anymore, right?
No.
We're at Abraham Romero.
Yeah, so got to stay healthy. But if you can ride this result and like what you found that worked tonight and you can continue to replicate that, then you might be able to scrape by in third or fourth place in the West until you get reloaded in the summer and then you make a push. But I guess we'll find out. All right, first question is from Steely Zidane. That early goal was crucial as it forced counter-centric Nashville to push forward and get caught repeatedly on the break. The red opened the floodgates. I can't say LAFC are back, but it's good to see the finishing is. Also, is there an argument to start Palencia over Campos? I do think scoring on them early keeps them from bunkering too low and making your life more difficult. And like we said, it came off a set piece, right? I think I is there anything else to say about Palencia over Campos? I think we're pretty firmly in that camp. I mean, you and I were in that camp last week.
Yeah.
And I'm more fully entrenched in it now.
We're way ahead of you on that one.
You're welcome, Steve. I know you listen. Yeah, and I do think the point about the red, again, that's forced by Kike. I don't remember who plays the ball to Kike on that. I
have to go back and watch.
Red card. But a pretty decent ball floated over the top. All right, next is Danny Ness. The real test will be against Carson. I feel we were lucky in the beginning and Nashville was unlucky throughout the match. Happy for Kike. I remember what you guys mentioned about Uruguay's national team setup and his goal came in front of goal and not the wing, so it makes sense. I feel like, okay, Martinez's vision and instinct are next level. At times, it looked as if the ball was following him. Denny is all the way back. Relieved to see that fire and hunger again. Atuesta gives me glimpses of Bob's elegant and entertaining style of play. It's like he's still in that era. And he brings a lot of that era into today. Josh, anything on all that?
I think Bwanga is 75% back. He still hit the post twice. So
twice. And they were there. The first one that he hit where he hits the crossbar, I mean, it is a wide open look. It's a good ball from Kike. Mm-hmm. One of few from him. But it's a wide open look. And he, again, goes to roof it because why do anything at half speed when you can just smash everything in sight? And so he goes off the post there. But it was much more effective. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. I actually think one of my highlights, though, was in speaking of Palencia, was Palencia's volley, one-time volley.
Oh.
It was like one that if that had gone in, I would have gone absolutely nuts. Because
it was Omar Campos would have been sold back to Santos if that volley goes in. Oh, he would have never come back. Tom Camilleri, you guys know the nuances of the game. Have you noticed the referees at all in any LAFC game yet this season? Yeah, we noticed how fat they are. That's what we've noticed. I do feel like there is... I feel like they go to the pocket early. And I think everybody on the show knows that I actually prefer this. Like, I am fine with people getting cards. I'm fine with people getting cards early. I'm partial to the argument that you should let people play. But at the same time, like, there's laws of the game. And so you should just know them and enforce them appropriately. I don't know. Maybe that's like the old referee in me talking, but other than that, I mean, I do think some of them are a bit card happy, but I don't know. It's tough. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're obviously put in a tough situation, but the thing that I always prefer to anything is that I think in this current atmosphere, the refs are having to kind of make sure that it's known that they're in control of the game, right? Because I think what ends up happening, and we see it all the time with like Ted Uncle, right, or some of these other guys, where it's like they let the game get away from them, and then next thing you know, they're like, when you need to pull a card, you can't do it because it's just escalated dramatically. You didn't do what you needed to set a precedent early on,
right?
Again, it's kind of something that it's the way that you ref when you don't know any of the players, right? And I think it's one of these situations where when you look at the dynamic of professional sports, especially in the American leagues, where you have a kind of a recycling of referees over and over and over again, and maybe it's the same within each country, right? Because I think you look at kind of the refs and how they kind of rotate globally within UEFA and some of those things, right? But typically, right, it gets to a certain point when you have the referees will get to start to know the players themselves, you know, and it can work favorably or unfavorably. Like, look at a situation like, I forget who the referee is. There's one guy that like just like famously doesn't get along with any Liverpool players, right? Or in the NBA, it would be like Chris Paul and Scott Foster, right? So if anyone understands that drama, I think it's like Scott Foster honked at his kid and Chris Paul hasn't let it go since then.
Yeah. Right?
So there's like some drama. And so I think what ends up happening though is like when you get to know some of these guys, you tend to let things go and the game gets away from you. Because you don't have that rapport between the players and the referees and the current set of referees, you aren't going to have that rapport. And so they're doing what you typically see happen at, like I said, in the lower levels, is that they establish their authority, but sometimes it puts it into a weird situation where you need to give that second yellow and you probably can't at that moment, even though it's blatant and you just don't have the gravitas to be able to do that. So
yeah,
it is an interesting dynamic. Again, it's one that I find myself torn trying to decide how this goes down, or how it should play out ultimately. But you know,
yeah,
as again, I think with all refs, as long as I don't have to hear about them, that's all that matters to me.
Yeah, yeah. The ref, gosh, they're really famous. He's like widely regarded as the best. The ball guy, Colina, right? Mm-hmm. The Italian ref. I think he has like alopecia or something, which is why he like has no hair, no eyebrows or anything. He kind of famously, this is in regards to you talking about like knowing the players and how it's a bit harder to keep everything under control. He would study game film before every match that he reffed, so he could know like each player's like level of like shithousery and stuff. Like, he would always be watching these individual players, like to see what they were trying to get away with, see their tendencies, so he could ref the game more efficiently. He's like the Tony Gwynn of refereeing, right? Where Tony like famously used to carry around like suitcases of VHS tapes of every pitcher in the league, like back before film was a thing, right? And it's one of the reasons that Tony was like one of the greatest hitters of all time. And Colina did the same thing with players that he officiated. So you're not going to get that out of the replacement refs, but I haven't noticed a whole lot other than that. Like, I think they are trying to keep the games under control, and so they might go over the top on some of this stuff. But my question there to anybody that complains about that is, would you rather have them just out there losing complete control of the games and not being able to like reel it back in, or would you rather them try and stay on top of it and maybe ruffle a few feathers along the way? And the answer is the latter for me, easy. Like, I don't care if players get mad at the ref. Like that's been going on forever, and it's never going to stop, no matter what kind of refs are out there, union or replacement or otherwise. So anyway, I'd be curious about everybody else's thoughts on what they think about the reffing, because I know that my views on reffing are much different, and I'm much more apologetic to refs than I am than a lot of other fans. All right, at YoYoTore66, Nashville wasn't good. They missed players. LAFC still missing opportunities. Glad they took advantage. We still need a nine. Wanted to see Muller tonight. Yeah, I mean, definitely doesn't change the fact that the roster is just tissue thin, right? Just like we said, one injury away from catastrophe. But I don't know. Josh, anything here?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of the sentiment. It speaks to the sentiment that we all have, right? It's like, it's still wait and see, right? Like I said, there's good things there, but I think there's more. They'll ultimately be more to prove at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Tom is back. Well, I suppose we can't pick on Oliveira tonight, so I'd like to point out that Hani Mukhtar had zero impact or contribution to the game, so it's encouraging that LAFC could neutralize the other team's best player like that. Yeah, I mean, he was a complete non-factor, and Oliveira was more effective than we've seen him be maybe ever, Josh. I don't remember another game. I mean, he's had a goal or two here or there, but, you know, has the near assist to Bwanga, almost gets out on the end of that Bwanga cross, ends up getting the goal later, much more effective.
Definitely for sure this season. And obviously, I think last season we still given the benefit of the doubt, but I think heading into this one, I think our expectations were a lot higher given how well he had played. And again, I think he still obviously does a ton defensively and off the ball that you can't discount. But this is one of those games where if he can continue to put it together, then I think we're definitely gonna be heading in the right direction.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Al Hampton, Hollingshead, connecting with Bwanga was really nice. We talked about that. Much more effective than Campos, for sure. Justin, 33W, great game. Midfield looked more comfortable. I think they're starting to figure out their respective roles on both sides of the ball. Hani looking like the shell of his former self tonight. So that kind of stuff we talked about. The midfield looking better. Again, I think that has a lot to do with fullback play as well. One of the things, this we can give some like training insight. One of the best tools to use in teaching a team to possess the ball more effectively is you have them play even numbers on the inside with neutrals on the outside, or like vice versa, where you have additional neutrals inside, right? To help the team in possession. And I feel like, again, in this 4-3-3, as you push those fullbacks up in the middle third and you provide a little more width, all of a sudden the midfield can keep the ball in the midfield and they can stay in position and when there's too much pressure, they can relieve that pressure quickly by playing out wide, playing back to a center back. Again, the center backs still aren't giving you much in that respect for LAFC. But having those wide players in the fullbacks helps you to do that, helps you to keep that midfield together and working effectively. And then what that also does is it allows Bwanga and Oliveira on the other side to stay higher because they don't have to come back and provide that width. So they can continue to push the back line further. The midfield can progress the ball up the field. And then you can finally overload on the wings or in the middle with the fullbacks based on what the other team's doing, right? So I think the midfield being more effective has a lot to do with fullback play. I don't know. That's how I saw it. Josh, I don't know what your feelings are on that.
No, I agree. I mean, because again, I mean, I think if you look at the bigger picture, though, the only change, that's the one change they made, right, to the setup. And yeah. Everything looked different. I mean, that I guess it's technically two changes because you shift Hollingshead over.
Yeah.
But at the same time, all of a sudden the midfield and the attack look so much more competent, right?
Yeah.
And so I think it speaks volumes to what those guys are doing and how they're affecting the game. I think partially from, again, just more than, it goes deeper than just being able to play the right pass or whatever. I think it has a lot to do with their positioning and their ability to do the things off the ball that I think we weren't quite getting previously.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Same lineup with the exception of, this is from Gomez Jr. Same lineup with the exception of Campos, but he can't really take all the blame, can he? Did the team finally click? Did the team's pieces finally connect together? Whatever it is, keep it going that way. So first off, agree with that for sure. Josh, is it just Campos?
No, I mean, obviously we don't, I mean, there's a multitude of things, but I think I said you can give Campos more time to vet and to figure these things out if you came with a team that was actually complete, right? Like if you're bringing Campos to the situation that has a complete roster, it's a whole different story than bringing him to what he was dealing with, where it's, again, everything is new, right? So the stability is just not there for him to figure those things out versus bringing that same guy into a mix where you have a bunch of veterans, guys who understand it and guys who knows what they're doing, you know? And so I think it's more of a combination of things than it just being specifically his issue.
Yeah. I think there are a couple things for Campos that aren't working in his favor. The first thing is the center back on his side, and for what it's worth, the center back on the other side aren't great at breaking pressure with their passes, right? This isn't anything new to anybody. We're not going after anybody. It's just the nature of the beast, right? There was a moment in tonight's game. It was towards the end, and Hollingshead gets a ball from Long, and I don't remember who it was for Nashville that came to press Hollingshead. I think it's Tillman that drops way in to like receive a squared pass in the midfield, and Hollingshead fakes that ball to whoever this mystery midfielder is in the middle, which moves the defender, right? And then Hollingshead, it just takes the ball down the line as soon as that defender steps inside. And that sort of deception is what you expect to see from high-level players. We don't really see it from Campos all that much, but Campos is also young, right? He's inexperienced. You might not get that kind of stuff from him right away. And to see Hollingshead do it, like, that's one of those moments where it's like, okay, well, maybe having Aaron Long trying to play the ball out of the back isn't so much of a liability if you have somebody who is a bit more crafty, like Hollingshead, as opposed to just somebody who's going to always do the same thing with Omar Campos. And again, I don't know, haven't watched enough Campos to really know if that's the case, if he doesn't, if he lacks kind of this like deception. But that stood out to me tonight as like something that I don't remember seeing from Campos as Aaron Long struggles to get the ball out of the back. So,
yeah, I mean, there's something to be said about veteran fullbacks, considering that some of the best years in LAFC are when we had Stephen Betashore and Jordan Harvey starting at the fullback spot. Right. And so, how impressed, and when I say impressed, I mean not at all, were we with Cheeky when he first started? Right, like we saw the videos, and it took some time before he really became, a best 11 caliber left back. Right,
and it took and the part that he struggled with the most was defensively, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where Campos struggles the most for sure, is like defensive awareness and ability.
Yeah, so I think part of it will ultimately come down, some of it is just time and experience. I think the more that they get that, which is why I said I think in this next game, you almost have to go with Palencia and Hollingshead because it just gives you so much more stability and that understanding of space and time and where to be and how to be.
Right.
Yeah, in a big game, really matters.
We'll also say that Cheeky Palacios, in the last few years, played with one of the best left center backs to ever lace him up right? So he, like, not only is he learning those sort of like tactical cues and that awareness from Chiellini, who, again, on top of being one of the best, like arguably the smartest defender ever, right? The Italians are known for kind of like their tactical prowess, especially defensively. And he is the first name that you think of when you think of Italian defenders, right? So, I mean, he's kind of like the creme de la creme when it comes to that. But Campos doesn't have that standing next to him. He just doesn't. And so it might take a little bit more time, but hopefully he gets there.
Yeah. Okay. I can have patience with young players.
Yeah.
Just not in a derby match.
Yeah. Or when you go 3-game scoreless. That's our patience is done when that's happening. EB Hate, I just felt we all needed that. The fans came off the ledge a bit. Bowanga back on the score sheet. Kike popping a cherry and Martinez getting an assist. Still don't like Maddie at the 9. Clean sheet. Whew. Yeah, I still not crazy about Bogusz at the 9. It's not personal. He's one of my favorite players on the team. But he's just not that, right? I think it is good. I think it is good to get the fans back and get the team not so stressed out. And I mean, what a statement, Josh, in terms of like a turnaround.
Yeah, because I think it would have been a much different story if he had won like 1-0 and under the same circumstances.
Yeah, yeah.
Like maybe Bowanga gets up. Yeah, so say it had been 1-0 and it would come off a Bowanga penalty and you're just like, oh, well, are they actually back or is it not?
Yeah.
But when you...
I mean, imagine if they score that Tillman goal and then don't score again the entire match, right? And so you kind of get one on a set piece early, which is great. Again, it's what we said they needed to do. Like, set pieces are how you're going to fix this. And then nothing. It's essentially like watching the U.S. Jamaica game, right? Where it's like nothing for 96 minutes. And then all of a sudden there's an own goal on a corner. And it's like, well, that really didn't solve anything for the U.S. other than how to advance, right? But like the bigger problems are still there. So I think scoring all those goals from open play kind of helped exercise those demons. All right. Next is Zach Brown. Would love to hear what you guys saw tactically that was different tonight. All I could make out was an early goal and good vibes, which was great to see. Also, Oliveira's effort before his goal showed he's just been unlucky. He'll prove out, I think, as a solid player for us. Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully this is just what he needs. Anything else tactically, Josh, or do you think we've explained it?
We'll refer this one back to the conversation regarding the fullbacks, because I think that's the biggest tactical tweak and the one that made the most impact in our opinion.
Yeah. Again, and something that I didn't anticipate, because I mean, really, that's the only change that's made, right? Campos is the only guy that comes off. Palencia comes on and goes to the right, moves Hollingshead to the left. And it was interesting to see how much more effective that made everything. So, all right, last one, Alan Kine. Goals were glorious, of course, but what I enjoyed almost as much, watching us possess and play pretty dynamic movement football. That was fun. Yeah, much better. And you could tell that they were having fun.
Yeah, it's been a while. But again, I think this team is, especially, I think, I remember who was it. I think maybe it was Vince and the Happy Foot, Sad Foot guys were talking about that, you know, while transition is the transition team, you know, transition game and the pragmatism is what is the primary identity. Mm-hmm. They still had the bones to be a possession team when they needed to. And this year you were leaning strictly into that. And if that wasn't there, you had nothing.
Right.
And I think tonight was one of those situations now where you finally leaned into what the midfield, what everyone else does well, right? Like, you know, I think Bwanga led the charge in terms of the transition moments last year in terms of what you could do with it. Yet at the same time, now that there's tape, now that there's film, you have to be able to approach it and continue to up your game. And I think in this sense, it was a change that probably needed to be had, but it was one that you didn't necessarily maybe not want to make because Bwanga had been on such a hot streak scoring wise over the course of last season. So I do wonder if it's, if there's some intentionality behind it, given that now you're at a point where you can try different things and move into different things because, you know, like there's just that familiarity at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Well, that's it. Josh, is there anything else that you think we need to get to tonight or?
No, let's bask in the glory. Stay ready, stay pumped. And like I said, we head into obviously the first hurdle we have to climb in this early season.
Oh, it's actually Colorado this week.
Did we get the schedule wrong? I thought we were looking at Galaxy.
So Colorado on the 30th, Galaxy on April 6th.
Got it. So, and that's Colorado away or home?
It is away.
Okay. Yeah. So another tough place to play. I mean, the Rapids are bad, but the location is always hard, right? And so that travel and the altitude always does a number on people. So
we use that to our own benefit. And my youth club, Flagstaff sits at 7,000 feet. I don't know if many people realize this. It's one of the snowiest cities in the U.S. We get a lot of snow. It is very high elevation, and we love when teams have to come from Phoenix to play us up here because they cannot move in the second half of games because of the altitude. So it is a real thing. I think we've talked about ways to train for it in the past on the show, but that's probably going back quite a ways. But anyway, up to Colorado this week and back home for the Galaxy the week after. You can follow the show at CounterPress _ me at Kirk Kinsey, Josh.
LAFC Josh.
All right. We will talk to you all next week. Good night.